The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus departed to the mountain to pray, and he spent the night in prayer to God. When day came, he called his disciples to himself, and from them he chose 12, whom he also named apostles: Simon, whom he named Peter, and his brother Andrew; James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus, Simon who was called a Zealot, Judas the son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. And he came down with them and stood on a stretch of level ground. A great crowd of his disciples and a large number of the people from all Judea and Jerusalem and the coastal region of Tyre and Sidon came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And even those who were tormented by unclean spirits were cured. Everyone in the crowd sought to touch him, because power came forth from him and healed them all. The Gospel of the Lord. The Church never declares any soul to be in hell. You know, as if the opposite of a canonization. But if we ever did, we would have named Judas Iscariot, the one of whom Jesus himself said, "Better for that man that he never be born." It's one thing to be called to be an apostle. It's quite another to live up to the calling that God gave you. But here's the interesting thing. Jesus knew that Judas would betray him, and yet he still chose him to be an apostle. Why do you think that is? By the way, there's no doubt about it. The Gospel of John tells us clearly, Jesus knew all along the one who would betray him, and yet he still chose him to be his apostle. Why do you think that is? And for that matter, why does God make a Hitler? Why does God make a Stalin? He knows what they're going to be when they grow up, and he still brings them into this world. Why do you think that is? Well, let's confess right at the outset that we're talking about the depths of the mystery of the infinite God. Never trust anybody who says, "I've got it all figured out. This is why God acts this way and that." We got an entire book of the Bible dedicated to the foolishness of thinking you've got the mind of God captured in the palm of your hand. That's, of course, the book of Job. But if you wanted to venture an answer, the best image that you could use is the story of Joseph and his brothers from back in the book of Genesis. Remember the story of Joseph and his coat of many colors? And his brothers betrayed Joseph. And at the very end, Joseph saves his brothers. And he turns to them and he said, what you intended for evil, God intended for good. That's the only way we can make sense of the evil that God himself allows. Now, please don't misunderstand. God allows it, but he's not thrilled by it. God's not up in heaven saying, "Hooray, they all did evil so that I can bring good about as a consequence." No. Judas was a friend of Jesus. It hurt him very, very much that his friend in whom he trusted, whose potential he saw and knew, still chose to betray him, and yet he allowed it. Just like a teacher will allow a student to make a mistake because he knows that it's part of the learning process, and so God, too, allows us to live side by side with very much evil, a lot of it right in our own hearts, because dealing with it is part of the process of our path to holiness. One of my favorite little examples of that, there are so many of them, but one of my favorite is in our saint for today, Saint Peter Claver. Tell you a little bit about him. Peter Claver was a Spanish Jesuit priest, lived in the latter years of the 1600s. And he was lined up to be a full professor at the University of Barcelona. It was a very respectable, comfortable, easy life. All he had to do was teach his classes, read his books, and amble about in the stone archways of the ancient university. But God had his hand on Peter Claver. You know, when God has his hand on you, he finds a way to break through, to smash your comfort, because that's where growth occurs. And it all happened when a friend of his came to visit him one day, Alphonse Rodrigue, later Saint Alphonse Rodrigue. And he sat down with Peter Claver and he told him that he'd just returned from the Spanish colonies in the New World. And the horrors that he saw there that were a consequence of the slave trade. Human beings sold as property, packed into the belly of a ship tighter than bricks in a kiln, unloaded to be sold for profit, the stench, the disease, some of them barely alive. Peter heard him and sent him on his way, closed his door, tried to go back to his life, and he couldn't do it. He tried to go back to his books and his lectures and his pipe tobacco and reclaim the comfort that he'd once known, and he couldn't do it. And he knew that God was calling him to do something about it. He didn't know what. So he volunteered to go to the New World. And everybody thought that the esteemed Professor Peter Claver would work in a comfortable parish somewhere ministering to viceroys and their ruling families. But instead, he went to the docks, went into the belly of the ship. The only reason they let him in was because he was a priest. And he didn't even know what to do. He had no idea what to do. So he just offered what he had. If he had food, he gave him something to eat. If he had water, he gave him something to drink. If he had a dry blanket, he gave him a dry blanket. If not, you just hold their hand. And the people looked at him and they said, "Who are you?" And he said, "I am Peter." And they asked, "Why are you good to us?" And he answered, "Because I see Jesus in you." And they asked, "And who is Jesus?" Then they listened. And he told them all about the Lord and all about the gospel and all about the church and all about the sacraments. And he became one of the most effective evangelizers in history. With his own hand, he personally baptized more than 300,000 people. And out of the depths of the evil, God brought forth good. It was Peter's sanctification. It was their sanctification. And even to this day, even hearing the story, it's your sanctification and mine. St. Paul tells us that in Christ dwells the fullness of God. The rest of us are a share. Only Christ is 100% the image of God. The rest of us are a reflection. The rest of us are a facet, but every time we hear his voice and say yes, we become more like him. That's especially true when you're suffering. That's especially true when you do not understand. Let's ask for the prayers of the saints to help us to do that. St. Peter Claver, pray for us.